Matthew 7. Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. By the standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he will ask for a fish, will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, however, you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And so then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The result was that Jesus had finished these words. The multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Amen. Okay. So chapter 7 is actually still part of the Sermon on the Mount, right? This is his first discourse. You know, I don't know if you remember all the way back from last Monday when we started Matthew, and we said that Matthew actually very meticulously recorded the five discourses, five major ones in Jesus' life. You know, as an aside to basically continue to tell, you know, Jewish people that believing in Jesus is really the fulfillment of their faith. And so he comes and he now talks about this idea of judging others, right? And there's this phrase here in verse 6, you know, we read it sometimes, right? Do not give what is holy to dogs and do not throw your pearls before swine. I think a lot of people really misinterpreted this verse in the past. You know, it's, in other words, people have used it and said, okay, yeah, so, you know, if someone's not ready for spiritual truth or whatnot, don't give it to them. That's not what the text means, right? Because the context of it is he's talking about, you know, hypocrisy. You know, you hypocrite, you know, take the log out of your own eye before you can take the speck out of someone else's eye. And you notice, you know, Jesus, when he talked, and in the way that the language of the New Testament, it's written in what's called Koine Greek, right? Koine is just considered like street Greek. You know, it wasn't like the scholarship of the educational institutions. It was just like common people language. And so when Jesus teaches, he uses common, you know, pictures, right? And you know, really kind of dramatic pictures as well. You know, if you imagine the log and the speck, and you know, and he's saying that when you try to, if you are a hypocrite, right, and I mean, and you got this log in your eye, and you try to minister to someone who's got a speck in their eye, it's like throwing things to dogs. You know, in other words, it's just totally ineffective, right? And so don't take that to mean, okay, maybe I shouldn't share spiritual truth with a non-believer because, you know, he's a swine. It has nothing to do with that. And I've heard people say that in the past. I thought it was just really dumb, right? And so don't get caught in doing that. And then there's this beautiful little part about prayer. And if you don't really read it well, you'll really miss out on what he's trying to tell us. And you know, before he told us how to pray, remember chapter 6 was how to pray. Now he's giving us the encouragement to pray. In other words, like, this is why you should pray. You should pray because God answers you. You know, and he does, very skillfully puts these, and it's kind of like there's an order to this, right? He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Okay, and so remember, this is it's written in what's called present tense imperative. In other words, the better translation is keep asking, right? And so this way, if you know God's will, right, for a particular need, okay, let's say you're praying about something and you know this is God's will, ask and you will receive, right? This is one of the aspects, right? You know what God is doing. This is a prayer according to the revealed will of God. You know, you're praying about, you know this is God. You ask. Just keep asking. You ask and you'll receive. And then let's say there's a particular need or a particular prayer situation and you don't know God's will on this matter. So he says, seek and you shall find. Right? And so, you know, right, the first one is you know God's will, and so you ask, receive. It's like an automatic transaction, you know. But let's say you don't know God's will regarding a matter, you know, like, you know, regarding something you don't know. Now, this part, he says, you change your prayer a little bit, and now you seek God, right? You seek him for the will. You know, ask, seek, knock, they don't mean the same thing, okay? And, you know, sometimes we can get in that thing, we may think like Jesus is repeating himself three times, right? He's not repeating himself. He's giving us a different prayer strategy for different situations in our life. Sometimes there are situations where we just don't know what God is saying to us. You know, we don't know if this is what God is doing, you know, so what do? We seek his will, right? Seek and you will find. Right, and so this is a prayer, you know, according prayer for knowledge, right, of the unrevealed will of God. And the great thing, right, he says that you seek him, right, for that confirmation or whatnot, and he's gonna, right, you're gonna find it. You know, I mean, it's a pretty good deal, right? So you know God's will, you ask, and you will receive. You don't know God's will about a matter, seek, and you'll find. You'll find out what God is saying about the situation. And then the third part, right, is knocking. You know, knock, and it should be open for you. Now, this is, you know God's will, right? But yet, it's not coming to you. This is the persevering, you know, prayer, right? You know, okay, God, I know this is your will. I mean, I just know in my heart, I got the scriptures to back me up. You know, I got the witness, you know, in my spirit, you know, and all these things. But yet, you're praying, and it's just not happening in your life. This is when you just keep knocking, right? You keep knocking until God opens the door, right? You know, it's this persistent prayer. This is prevailing prayer. This is, you know, going from the impossible to the possible, right? This is, I mean, just really, you know, getting in, you know, in the face of the enemy kind of prayer. And so he gives us these three aspects and all these different aspects. And the key is, right, that, I mean, being that, if we're operating according to the will of God, no matter which stage we are or no matter how confident we are, you know, or whatnot, if this is the Lord or not, God's going to give it to you, you know. And then he comes and Jesus, right, just so, you know, because, you know, by the time you get to the knocking part, yeah, I mean, can you imagine, you get pretty discouraged, right? Well, Lord, I've been knocking forever, man. You know, come on, when's this thing going to happen? And he says, look. Right, using this figure of speech. Remember what we talked about before, how much more, right? How much more? And he says, what man is there among you when his son shall ask for a loaf, will give him a stone? So he's appealing to them, right, as parents. Or if he should ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? You know, and this beautiful phrase, right? once you start listening to it, you'll see it all over the Gospels. Right? And it says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Right? Be aware of that phrase. How much more will our Father in heaven give? You know, and so even if you know, Jesus is talking about knocking and you've been knocking and you're like, oh man, so discouraged in prayer. He says, look, Father is a gracious Father. Your heavenly Father is a gracious Father. He's much better than your earthly fathers. Your earthly father has treated you pretty good at times. Not all the time, but at times. You know, and how much more will the heavenly Father give to those who ask? His beloved children, you know. And so when we're going to the Lord in prayer, right, we're not going as beggars. You know what I mean? You know, we're not going, you know, as people that have no relationship, right? That just strangers. You know, we're going to the Lord as sons and daughters. You know, and the heart, you know, and this is what I want you to see in this about regarding to the Father. The heart of the Father is to speak to His people, is to release, right, good things to His people, right? And so this is why we pray, right? You know, either you know God's will, you pray, you receive, right? You don't know His will, then you seek Him for His will about a certain matter. You know, and then, you know, and then it goes back to the top, right? So you seek Him, you get the, you know, you get the answer, yes, this is God's will, okay, then ask. And then you ask, and it's not happening, then you go to knocking, right? You see how this happens, right? And you just keep knocking, you know, you get discouraged, remember, He's your Father, right? He's much better than your earthly father, right? And it's kind of like in a few verses, right? Jesus is giving us really a lot of encouragement to keep praying, right? To keep seeking His face. And I remember I shared it in the morning prayer on a Sunday or whatnot. But remember, you know, prayer is I mean, ultimately, yes, it accomplishes God's will and all this. It's a spiritual transaction. But prayer is good for us. It changes us, right? And so we continue on through that. And so he finished talking about prayer, and then he talks about, you know, the ways of contrasted and the fruit that's contrasted. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I, you know, personally, especially during the Bible reading time over the weekend, I mean, I knew before, because I knew, you know, like, as a reference, you know the one person that talks about hell and judgment more than anyone in the whole Bible? You know who that person is? It's Jesus, right? Which is really kind of boggles our mind. And I knew that going in, right? But as we were going through the whole Bible, I just didn't realize how fierce He was, you know, regarding judgment, you know, and punishment and all these things. And so He's contrasting, you know, the different ways that we live our lives, right? And He'll cap that, you know, by talking about the two foundations, right? So this is all one stream of consciousness, right? And so, you know, 13 starts a whole new thought, you know, in this way. And He talks about the narrow gate and the wide gate, you know, so He's contrasting, you know, different ways to live our lives, right? And then, you know, then He's talking about fruit, you know, good fruit, bad fruit, right? I mean, it's another contrast in the way that we live our lives, right? You know, and then he goes, you know, a very famous passage, right? And this is not, you know, just because of the way that it's written, it may seem like it's a very, like, anti-charismatic passage. You know, I've heard a lot of, like, really fundamental, you know, evangelicals teach on this passage, but really negatively, but it's really like an indictment upon charismatic, you know, phenomena or behavior, but that's not what Jesus is saying, right? And, you know, He's saying all these guys do these works, you know, but they don't know Him. You know, and the word there is, I never knew you. There's another passage where He uses a kind of a different word, and this one literally means, I do not have covenant with you. So literally, this one, there's no relationship whatsoever. There's another passage very similar to this, and the word He uses, I don't endorse you. It's a little bit different, right? But in this context, and He says, you know, so depart from Me. And so it's not necessarily just doing the work. You know what I mean? And the reason why, you know, He adds this in, because He's talking about fruit before, right? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. In other words, it's what's going on inside of us, right? And then He talks about the foundations. And the key to the foundations at the end of chapter 7 of really, you know, understanding this. And this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, by the way. And He says that those who hear, right, the difference is, the contrast now is everyone, because there's a huge crowd, you can hear, but you got to do, okay? So He says, if you hear the words and act upon them, it's like a man who built his house, right, on good foundation, basically. In other words, right, that you know, you listen, you receive, and your actions are coming out of your heart, you know, what's going on inside, you're building a solid foundation. The opposite part, if you hear, if you're listening to the Lord, but yet you don't act upon it, right, then you're building your house on a faulty foundation, you know, and even calls this person a foolish man, you know, rain descended, fall, you know, and it just collapses basically, you know, and so, you know, I talked about on Sunday a little bit, right, you know, like even when we talk about faith, there has to be a manifestation of that faith to actually have faith actualized in our lives, right? And so in that same way, I mean, that's basically what Jesus is saying, right? Or I'm saying what Jesus is saying, right? He didn't agree with me. I agree with him, right? And stuff. And so, you know, he's saying that you listen, you know, like we're here, but the key is to act upon it. You know, have that faith or that teaching or the scripture or the insight or the revelation, whatever it may be, have that acted out in our life. That's, right, what matters. You know, because what that means, it means it's true. You know, that it's real. You know, it's authentic, right? That it's alive. You know, that's what really counts, you know, at least in God's economy. Now, he's not just talking about just works, right? He's talking about works that comes out of a heart of faith and belief. You know, that's what he wants. He doesn't just want us to have faith. And he doesn't want us just to do stuff, right? He wants us to have both. You know, a relationship in our hearts, change, transformation, and then out of that, an overflow of action. You know, that's really what God's been after. He wants both. You know, and you just do, you know, on the outward appearance. You know, I tell you what, right? I just make it very plain, okay? You know, in the church context, if you're just serving and you're just doing and you're involved in so many ministries and it's the outward thing, you're going to get burnt out really, really fast, you know? Now, if you're on the other side and you're just receiving all the time, you know, you're just listening, you're receiving, right? You're just going to get really fat, you know, and really totally ineffective in your life. And the knowledge is not really going to go anywhere. But if you're receiving from the Lord, you know, and then you're acting that out, man, you're going to be one very healthy individual. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's going to do us very, very well. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He wants us to be in a place of health. You know, he wants us, you know, in a place where our faith is really actualized and it runs and it works and it helps people, you know, in that way. So let's close our eyes today. I mean, there's a lot here, but I mean, I really actually like the prayer part. Just the encouragement to pray. And I don't know where you guys are at. I mean, I don't know somewhere you guys are at. But if you're discouraged in prayer these days, you know, I've talked to a few of you, you know, and some of you guys are discouraged. You know, many of us experienced the year of reaping, and some of us didn't. And so we're a bit discouraged, you know, and a bit maybe tired, especially in our prayer life. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let Him just really encourage you, knowing that if you ask, you will receive on a matter that you know is the will of God. If you don't know God's will about a particular matter, seek and you will find. Now, you know God's will and it's not happening, then knock and you keep knocking and it will be open to you. All right, let the Lord really encourage you. And if that doesn't encourage you in its own, right? Remember that you are God's child and God wants to do good things for His children. You know, He's not playing hide and seek with us, you know, or, you know, like putting the thing out there and then hiding it from us when we're so close, right? God loves us. But there's something that He wants to do in our lives in the area of prayer. And so wherever you're at about a need, I know many of us are praying for particular needs these days, and there's some that are more pressing than others. If you know this will of God, just ask with confidence, with faith. Maybe you're asking the Lord for His will on a matter. Seek, and you'll find it. And once you know God's will, then ask. As you're asking and it's not happening, then start knocking. more than anything, let's just let the Holy Spirit just encourage you in your prayer life today. If you are discouraged, I just want to invite you to lay it before the Lord. And just, you know, as Chris and, you know, Jisun lead us, just say, Lord, I just commit my prayer life to you again. Lord, I am a bit discouraged. You know that as well. But God, I just pray for renewed fervor and favor in this area of my life. And just say to yourself, Lord, I am a child of yours. And so release to me, God, what is rightly due an heir of Christ. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray over our prayer lives. Huh? Let's pray that our prayer life would be full of joy, right? Full of relationship, full of peace. It wouldn't be anxious, you know, or discouraging, or feel like a weight or some kind of toil or labor. right? That as we pray, that we would just really sense the presence of God over our lives. And that we would know, you know, just like, you know, that we're talking to someone that just loves us so much, you know, and that who we love as well. And that's, you know, your prayers. Jesus is standing right in front of you. And we talk to him as a friend, you know, as a lover. And let's pray for our prayer lives today, right? That would be the context. It wouldn't be like we're praying to someone so far away, you know, and thus, you know, most of our words become very empty or ritualistic, you know, or we throw up junk mail to heaven. But he's a friend that's closer than a brother, as the scripture tells us. So let's just pray about our prayer life this morning. Let's go to the Lord. Let's go to our mission focus today. Let's pray for China, right? Let's pray for the Chung family, or for Matt and Nate's parents, for the kids in Chichihar. Let's pray for the government and the churches there, the above-ground churches, the underground churches. Let's pray for the Beijing church plant, P. Sam Kim and Chris and their families, you know, and Mary. And let's continue to lift up the plant as we hope to launch mid-year. Let's just lift up China and ask God's hand to be upon and continue to be upon this country. Let's pray for our SP staff. Pray for me, for Pastor Sam Kim, for Pastor Nate and Kenny, Sophia and Monica. Ask the Lord to continue to strengthen us, and that we would, you know, every day just fall more and more in love with Jesus, and our work and our labor would flow out of that love more than anything else. You know, continue to pray for the families and fiancés and future spouses, and, you know, pray that that would happen quickly as well over our staff, and let's just lift them up before the Lord. Let's continue to pray for, I guess, the next tier of leaders. Let's pray for our elder board, particularly, and ask God to continue to draw them to you. Each one is actually going to be basically governing one of the ministries at church. And so let's ask God to continue to use them. If I recall correctly, Hyge is covering the mission committee, and Angela is doing the education department. My wife, Lisa, is doing the men's and women's ministries. Tom is over finances. Charles is over the welcoming. And I think that's it, right? I didn't miss anything. And so these guys are covering. Let's also pray for our missions committee. You know, it's a fairly new committee. They're an exciting group. And let's continue to ask God to continue to bless them. This is Sophia, Sarah, Jisun, Hyde, who's covering this group. What? Oh, Janie, yeah. Janie is in charge of the worship team. Sorry about that, Janie. Right? And then, now you made me lose my train of thought. Is it John? John Jisun, Sophia, P. Sam Kim. That's it? Okay. Sorry, guys. Let's pray for them. I do know my leaders, by the way. Lastly, let's just cover our church move, and let's pray for God's hand upon us. Let's pray for real grace. You know, this is, if you don't know, we are knocking, right? We've been knocking for a while. Let's just keep knocking. In fact, let's not knock. Let's just knock the door down, right? And just pray for the vine and continue to move upon them, and the door will be open to us. So let's just lift up. Let's go to our member focus. Let's pray for our sister Tin Yan. Let's pray for her brother-in-law in 2011. In God's time, I don't know what that means. Oh, okay. Very clever. This is Mary's husband, right? Let's pray. bless her family. Bless her friends, Katie and Jonathan, for salvation and baptism, to save China, for the move. And to God, just to teach her to love him the way that he wants her to be loved. So let's pray for Tin Yan and Mary. Let's pray for our sister Krista, right? Let's pray for demonic powers be loosened from her parents and healing over her mom's arthritis. Pray for her parents to enjoy this next season of her life, and for her to really know the love of God intimately and to flow through her life, and that she would come into her purposes and bear fruit in all that she does. So let's just lift her up. Father, we just thank you just for the encouragement, God, this morning, Lord, that you encourage us to pray because we are children, Lord. And we're not praying to someone who's far off, God. We're not praying to someone who's not interested in us, God, but someone who is madly in love with us, Lord, that wants, God, to do all that they can, Lord, and all, God, that we are allowing him to, Lord, in our lives. And so we pray that we just step in, Father God, into deeper prayer, God, and into more consistent prayer, Father, into, Lord, intimate prayer, God, and sometimes door-knocking down prayer, and so that you just continue to move in our lives, Father. Lord, we thank you this day. Lord, keep us warm. Lord, keep us strong in you, Lord, and just do what you need to do in our lives today that we may do what you ask us to do today. So we thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.